Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
ACC Media Day starts today with the Atlantic. Florida State's in there, Clemson, all those teams. Josh Newberg's with us. I think he's still down in Tampa. I think he has probably dispatched some of his guys that way, though. What's up, Berg?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The boys at Knowles 24/7 are there. I know Chris Nee is. I'm not sure on Brendan. But, yeah, we're well represented at ACC Media Days.
What do we need to hear out of Willie today, considering we've had months and months to hear from Willie regardless?
I don't know. I'd maybe be willing to hear maybe what he learned. I think that would be interesting to me. Not necessarily I need to hear it, but I think that's what would be interesting. What I think we're going to hear, I think we're going to get more of the questions of what went wrong last year, which – you know, there's really no answer to it at this point. For Taggart, he needs to be looking forward. But I think, if I had to guess, those will kind of be the questions. I also am eager to hear his thoughts and really every coach's thoughts on the transfer portal. I do think they're going to adjust it a little bit from what we saw last year. And it's just interesting to get their takes on it because on one end, they're losing guys, but on the other, you know, a lot of teams are gaining guys, and it's improving their roster. So kind of just interested in those topics right now.
You bring up a good point. The media today, when talking to Coach Willie Taggart, they're going to be stressing what went wrong. That's I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's they probably don't know enough about the non-Florida State reporters that don't see them every day. They probably don't know enough about Florida State, so they're going to err on the side of what the hell went wrong. That's you're right.
It's
exactly
the questions we were asking on the beat at the end of the season and after the season, and you know,
right?
You put a coach up to it. I mean, now that there's already been the Bleacher Report article about Jimbo Fisher and. Like, is Willie Taggart really going to sit down and explain what went wrong last year? No, and nor should he. It's time to look ahead. But what would be an interesting question is what he learned from last year. And, you know, and every coach learns from the year before, whether it was a great year or a bad year.
West Coast Sooner says, please ask Josh if he likes the Manny Diaz hire for Miami, or perhaps should they have gone somewhere else to get the coach?
In reality, I like the hire. Knowing what Miami is up against financially and all that kind of stuff, I do like the hire. Of course, in reality, Miami just doesn't have the money to really go out and compete for those top-tier coaches. So bringing in a guy like Manny Diaz, who's from the area, he's a defensive-minded coach. It's always the opposite, right? It always goes the opposite. Mark Richt came in running his offense. He was an offensive-minded coach. He couldn't get it done, so you bring Manny Diaz. Miami's defense was really the thing that was holding the Hurricanes' head above the water during the Mark Richt era, and Manny was responsible for that, so... let's see what he's got. I don't know if Manny's going to be the guy that brings him to the top, though. We said on your show that's going to be determined by whether or not he can land the big recruit, meaning the true difference maker. Miami's it was recruiting pretty well. We're going to see what they can do during the season, and then if Manny can capitalize on that on the recruiting trail, because this is a bump class. So this is the class that, you know, is expected to stand out from the others.
When you guys on the Big Three roll up, or wherever you're at, when you discuss that Miami and Florida opener, which is very early, what's the conclusion?
As far as who's going to win, I think, well, from my perspective, Florida's going to win. Florida should win. Florida has the better roster. But when we discuss it, I am openly rooting for Miami because I like chaos. I think we've explained that. But
right.
I think, you know, week zero, everybody expects Florida to go out and handle Miami. But what if Miami surprised him, comes out, you know, week zero, college football is flipped on its head, the Hurricanes upset the Gators. That's how I want to start the season.
That would be something, because I think the general public right now doesn't believe Miami wins that game. Overwhelmingly.
No, nor like anybody that objectively watches college football would think that Florida would have the edge in this one by a touchdown or more. And just mainly because there's a lot of question marks. We don't know who Miami's going to start at quarterback, first-year head coach. You know, there's just a lot of unknowns right now. But, you know, Miami comes out and wins that game. Whew, everything that we thought heading into the season has now changed, at least in the big
Clemson football. Is at the podium today, too, up in Charlotte from day one of the ACC Media Days. What can Jimbo say? We've won two of the last three. We're on top of the mountain. We're recruiting a perhaps generational class. What else can he say?
I don't know. They always try to get Dabo on these, like, paying the player questions or religion questions.
Right.
I feel like every media day is like somebody's trying to have to say in something so they can go, gotcha.
I know.
But, yeah, there's not much
trying to get him to
they're rolling. They got the best quarterback in the nation coming off of Natty. I mean, life is good.
Josh Newberg with us. ACC Media Day starts today in Charlotte. He's got his guys up there covering, so follow them. You said Chris Knee is there for sure, right?
Yes, Chris Knee is definitely there. He drove up yesterday. He arrived there. So we will have full coverage all day. Knowles 247.
Tell everybody about the Big Three Roll-Up.
The Big Three Roll-Up, we taped it last night. It's another burner. Trey Rowland of the Rollcast came on. We talked Florida State, some of the trials and tribulations of him starting a Florida State podcast right smack dab in the middle of 5-7. So it's been an interesting ride for Trey, whose podcast is booming. But you guys can get it 7 a.m. Thursday morning, iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts.
Berg, we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Josh Newberg with us on Wednesdays, and we are clear. I pulled up the snowflakest of all snowflakes when it comes to a penalty, and it's the horns down thing. I didn't pull that up yesterday, and I should have. But here's... And I'll pull up the league head of officials guy, too. But let me just paraphrase. Horns down will be a penalty in the Big 12 if you direct it at a player. If you are facing a player or facing the sidelines and you do horns down, that's very upsetting and it could make somebody cry. That's a penalty. If, I guess, and here's another explanation they used. Let's say you're a player and you're on your sideline and you're facing the crowd. It's not a player, but it looks like you're facing the crowd. You do horns down there, it's probably not getting called. That's the snowflake penalty of all snowflake penalties right there. We would not want to hurt anybody's feelings, so let's not do that. Boy, I tell you. From now on, you know how we had the curmudgeon rule? And we actually played a part in getting that fixed. Guy would celebrate in the end zone after a touchdown, and they'd immediately the refs would smother him and make him stop or throw a penalty. just because she showed some emotion. It was so bad. They actually backed off that. We got that done. I sat there and threw a little temper tantrum until that got done. This one, we've got a couple of things. Obviously, targeting. Remember, we named targeting the CYA rule, which is cover your AZZ rule, right? Because that's what this is about. They act like it's about we're concerned with the safety, which, look, we're all wanting everybody to be safe. That's normal. That's a reasonable thought. We don't want anybody hurt. But it's football, and things can happen. We know that, too. And we understand the risk. But here's the thing. They're doing this because of the legal ramifications. They disguise it other ways. It's a political ploy. They know what they're doing. You use a term that's descriptive, that kind of takes you off the right path. Do it all the time. So should we call it the CYA rule, or should we just go straight snowflake? Might need to go snowflake here. I think that one is a little more descriptive. I think that one hits home. So if it's targeting or if it's horns down, I'm not calling those equal, but I'm saying for both of those from now on, it's going to be the snowflake rule. That one, I think, resonates better. That one might help us in our protest. You got to know what you're doing here. You got to know your way around. Bottom line is, don't do the horns down facing somebody. That's very hurtful. Oh, my God. You realize how you can hurt somebody's life? 50 years later, a football player who had a horns down aimed at them, they could be in their 70s looking back at their career at Texas and still not over that. Telling their great-grandkids, you will not believe what Grandpa went through here. You folks have it so easy. Have you ever had a downwards hook'em sign aimed at you? Yeah, you haven't lived. You haven't been treated wrong until that's happened to you. Here's what we'll do. Let's get the first break here in hour number three. We are clear. We are absolutely clear of guesting. Here is the number you need to use for now, 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. I'm looking live at this crash here blocking the left lane. It's southbound Ellington Parkway here at Cleveland Street. It's quite heavy here on Ellington Parkway trying to get down from the north here because of this crash. Again, it's southbound on Ellington Parkway. Pretty good delay trying to get down through here. Moving that wreck to the side, 24 West at 440. Still a lot of traffic out here coming down 65 right now through Madison. Some rain moving in from the north. Be careful. Get the lowest prices on your airline tickets. Smart fares can save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2544.
Family.
I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
We're family owned, family operated, family managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
An interesting creature inhabits the flat, arid plains of many an automobile dashboard. The bobblehead. It's most agreeable and will nod along to anything, despite having no brain function. But when the bobblehead hears how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, he'll nod even more vigorously because he knows you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Easy, bobblehead, easy. You're going to get whiplash.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Congratulations to Tim Corbin and the 2019 Vanderbilt Commodores.
Vanderbilt, for the second time in school history, wins the national championship. And I believe you have just seen the greatest team in Vanderbilt baseball history.
The Vanderbilt Commodores.
We're glad we can celebrate among all of you, the Vanderbilt fans, the Vanderbilt community, Nashville.
Congratulations from your home for Vanderbilt baseball.
I think everybody loves having you guys being our flagship station. It means a lot to us.
Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Showers and thunderstorms for this morning. A high of 87. Showers overnight. Cloudy with your low at 75. Scattered showers on Thursday. Partly sunny with your high at 91. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Omni Nashville Hotel. Josh up in London, Ohio, says, ask Berg when he's going to unblock Karen. Yeah, I missed that one, Josh. My fault. I had dispatched of Berg by the time I saw that. My error there. Even though he's never going to unblock Karen. We know that. Gary Joe Collins says, Bill, what's next, you think? A penalty for scoring with your third team in a 54-0 blowout against Directional University? That'd be slappy state. Either that or Nashville Auto Diesel College. Either one. What do you think about that? That's interesting. It brings me to this thought. Because I've been scolded both ways here. In baseball, in travel baseball, and in baseball in general, I have seen it work both ways. It's amazing. You're beating a team 12-0. It's the fourth inning. It's travel team 13U baseball. Random number there. And it's considered bad taste if you're still stealing every base, taking risks, running it up, if you will. It's considered in poor taste. That's universal, right? I have been part of games where you clearly back off because the score is one-sided. I've also had it done the other way where the other team's beating us bad. But you're winning big. You clearly are backing off. And the ump calls a timeout and says you're being disrespectful to the game. You're not playing it hard enough. I've had that work both ways. Nobody seems to be on the same page with this stuff, but I've had that happen. And don't get me wrong. All the baseball games I've been in with my kids, I've been on the other end where you're getting your brains beat out many, many times. Been on both sides of it. But I've actually had that happen. Thought we were being respectful because it was one-sided, backed off, and got scolded for backing off. Had that happen. Cosby Cattleman, what's happening? Cosby Cattleman.
Bill, down there at Nissan. Put that canoe out down there on the Cumberland River, Monsieur Kings. It looks like y'all got some hurricane remnants out there in front of Nissan Stadium.
I know. We tell you what. It's going to be a bad day. We're getting the hurricane, or what was thought to be the hurricane, right? Barry? Hurricane Barry?
Yeah, that, Yeah, that's the remnants coming up. Hey, Bill, I know you get those bridesmaids on their pedal bars over there and all that.
Yeah.
But isn't there one of those pedal deals or a boat that actually has like a tiki angle that goes up and down the Cumberland River out there in front of Nissan Stadium?
You would have to ask Crazy Charlie. He'd know that more than me. I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, you know, Crazy Charlie's been squirreling the last day or two, Bill. I think he might have been hanging out at the wrong Bongo Java. I think he might have been over at Belmont Boulevard. We need to keep him at the Red State Bongo Java down there on Lower Broad. Keep him off Belmont Boulevard.
That's his main Bongo Java is in the Omni. I do know that.
Yeah, I'm just worried about his so-called friends, you know, the anarchists. You know, I think he has a coffee with Antifa from time to time.
I think the resistance is mainly at Belmont, though. I think you're right. Yeah.
Hey, Bill, don't have too much to say on Pruitt's appearance yesterday. You know, 14 coaches, I'd say most of these fan bases watch their coach and probably ignore the other 13 or a lot of it. But, you know, Bill, I got to make a confession to you today. I've told you many times that, you know, I didn't like most of these Tennessee coaches. I never liked Johnny Majors. I never liked Fatmer, even when he was winning. I just always thought Spurrier made him out to be a complete fool. Dooley was a weirdo. Sergeant Carter, flat top. He was a band tuba player or trumpet player, whatever he was. But I'll tell you what, Bill, I just watching Pruitt, maybe because he's just that old country boy kind of Chattanooga area type mentality, you know, I can just kind of relate to it. I just kind of like watching the guy. I think he's a little unpolished, you know, doesn't always put his sentences together correctly, but I just kind of like him. I think he knows football, and I wouldn't say he's a good face for a supposed institution of higher learning, but it could be a lot worse. At least it's not Dooley talking about the Germans and shower etiquette.
I totally agree. I was impressed. Again, I'm not looking at Jeremy Pruitt for his wordsmithing because you're not getting that necessarily. But he convinces me every time I hear him talk that he knows what he's doing. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, we're paying this guy $4 million if he knows football or not. So I try not to be elitist on this, but then when I watch him speak, I kind of wonder how he ever passed English 101 over at MTSU.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I'm sure the Peabody crowd has a good snicker or two at that, but when you're when you go 0-8 to the SEC, I don't think you can be too picky, can you?
No, you cannot. No, you cannot. I'd like to wait. Now, the only thing he filibustered, but that's a Nick Saban thing. He went for, they counted almost 22 minutes without questions. Yeah. He went through the whole roster, went through a lot of data and stats and weight gains and nutrition and GPAs. But I tell you what, he was pretty sharp, though.
You know, one other thing, too, Bill, you know, Fatmer got all those cheap shots, and everybody snickered at Butch and Dooley and all of them. UT's usually just been the laughing stock of the league with some of these embarrassments they've hired in the head coaching chair. But, you right. know, I think Y-Bomb and that Bama crowd, you know, they like Pruitt, he's one of them and all that. I don't think Pruitt's going to get many of the cheap shots that Fatmer got. I think he's got a lot of people rooting for him, especially south of Chattanooga, Fort Payne area.
I do, too. Alabama fans like Jeremy Pruitt. They don't hate him like they hated Fulmer for many reasons. He beat them, and they weren't very good at the time. And you had the whole Albert Means thing, so they never liked him. They hated him. But you know, Pruitt, they don't want Pruitt to beat him, but there's a soft spot for them with him.
You know, Bill, whenever – I mean, hell, he was on scholarship at MTSU, and he left it to go walk on down there, didn't he?
Correct.
Wonder if Logan Young was paying his tuition on the travel fees on the way down there.
Logan Young's even taking care of walk-ons, baby.
But you know, Bill, looking at it here, I really think the guy knows football. Do you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
The question is, can you make that transition from the coordinator chair to the big chair? He made a good point, you know. As an assistant coach, you watch Saban go out there and do that, and you go play golf. You don't get to go to the golf course anymore. The spotlight's on you and that $4 million you're making.
Right. Right.
Bill, you know, one last thing I'll tell you. It's going to be interesting to see whenever Saban goes what they do. If Dabo says no to them and they'll do their little national search. Remember when they went after, what was it, Ray Perkins up there at New York? He was the guy, wasn't he? They brought in Ray Perkins after Bear Bryant?
Correct.
How'd that work out?
It was average. Wasn't great.
Yeah, I know how it went. But
the Vols beat them how many times in a row? Right there, 4 years in a row.
Johnny got his little 4-year run on them.
Correct.
I just remember how big. Here comes the New York Giants coach and all this. But if Dabo stays over there and they do their little national search and it doesn't go the way they want, I'm telling you, Bill, I would not be shocked if it's Kiffin down there. Those people don't play. And if it's not Kiffin, I could see him swooping in after Pruitt if Pruitt is, you know, real smashing success up here. Wouldn't that be great?
You will be saying Roll Tide? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, you know, Bill, I like Pruitt, like Petrino, like the Pyre, but my guy's Mike Leach. Won't you see that big three roll-up? He's been eating too many fruit roll-ups, I think. Why don't you call my dinner at the Palm Beach Post? Get me an FAU beat writer on here, Bill. If you're not going to get my man Ubbin and Griff's going to keep giving you the runaround, let's get a Palm Beach Post guy on here and give me an FAU update.
Guess who just texted me literally while you and I are talking? Griff. Griff's coming on right after you.
Okay, well.
You precede Griff.
Yeah, maybe he can tell us what Kirby puts in his Cheetos. We really care up here about that.
See. Yeah, I just got a text from Griff. He says, Bill, I'm good until 9. I can't do anything after 9 because Saban is speaking, and I can't miss that, Bill. Yeah, don't do that to me, Bill. I've got errands to run this morning. Right after the show, I'm going to miss Nick. Darn. I'm going to miss the king of the Death Star. There'll be replays everywhere. I'll get that part. But I will not be able to hear that in real time. Darn. That sucks. Bottom of the hour. Griff just texted me, Crazy Charlie. Call him during the break. Griff will be with us when we come back. He's down in Hoover, fresh off a Fine Bomb TV appearance. He's all big and bad right now. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Looking better inbound on Ellington Parkway from that earlier crash there, passing Cleveland Street, Hampton Avenue, and Hillsborough Pike. That's one of the latest crashes. South Nashville, or at Murfreesboro Pike, and Hobson Pike happened at that intersection. And it's still quite a bit of traffic now. 65 coming down from the north, 40 as you make your way in from Wilson County there up by 840. Some rain moving into the northern part of Nashville right now. Be careful. Get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. Smart fares can save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2500. 544. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family and friends, even coworkers? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers entertainment for all ages? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, with 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, is just the place. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of group activities and reunions. Visit them online at strikeandsparebowling.com. Also on Facebook and Twitter, or see him in Hendersonville, Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. There's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Every team needs a go-to producer when the game is on the line. It's no different when you're looking for a real estate professional when buying or selling a home. Knowledge, trust, results. Richard Courtney, with more than 30 years of experience, is that local real estate all-star. Learn more about his proven marketing plan at richardcourtney.com or call 615-300-8189. Richard Courtney is part of Frederick and Clark Realty. 615-327-4800. Got Asphalt LLC, a full-service asphalt maintenance team backed by over 20 years of experience, reminds all Americans to salute and honor our troops and veterans for a job well done. Got Asphalt LLC, the wise choice for asphalt seal coating, crack filling, stripping, patching, and more. From residential to commercial, call 317-619-9659. That's 317-619-9659. Got Asphalt LLC, proudly saluting all of our troops and veterans and looking forward to serving you. Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM has been your home for sports for 20 years. From typewriters to Twitter, fax machines to Facebook, we have you covered 24/7 and on the go. Finding us online is as easy as at Nash Sports Radio. Twitter, at Nash Sports Radio. SoundCloud, at Nash Sports Radio. Facebook, at Nash Sports Radio. Or search your app store for WNSR. 20 years of sports. Anytime, anywhere. From Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation, it is Mike Griffith down in Hoover, Alabama. Griff, how you been, man?
Doing great, Bill. Thanks for squeezing me in today.
I'm watching you with Feinbaum yesterday. Very good segment, as usual, but Feinbaum looks beat down. He let you just wail on any number of subjects, which, by the way, Griff, I thought you were eloquent on, not critiquing you. And he didn't – usually, you know how Feinbaum, he waits for the gotcha moment, whether he believes it or not, and then he goes into some diatribe. He just let you go unfettered yesterday.
I think Paul believes that my point is the gotcha moment. I think there's steam behind this. I think this is a problem with the College Football Playoff Committee. I think it's a matter of conflict of interest. And once people get past it and realize, look, I'm not trying to make a case here because I cover Georgia. I'm making a case this could happen to somebody else. This could happen to Tennessee next year or 3 years from now or whenever. This could. The problem is this, and I'm going to boil this down succinctly. They have a recusal policy. Okay, just so everyone knows, let me catch everybody up. 13 people on this college football selection committee. There's four or five sitting ADs, active ADs. For example, the Oklahoma AD last year, okay? When Oklahoma gets talked about, he's got to leave the room. Now, that makes sense. In other words, you can't vote for your own team. Here is the problem. When Georgia gets talked about, the team that Oklahoma's trying to beat out for that last spot, he doesn't have to leave the room. So while he cannot vote for his own team, he can essentially lobby against the competition. That's the problem. That's the conflict of interest. That's what has to change. The recusal policy, if the college football playoff wants to keep sitting ADs on there, if they're just damned to do that, then at the very least, you've got to say, you know what? If you have a team that's in the top 10, we're going to have to sub you out. We're going to have an alternate. You can't be in the room at all. Never mind not talking about your own team. We don't want you talking about other teams that your team could be competing with. If you don't do that, then at the very least, you better give me some transparency. I want to know what's being said, and I want to know how you voted. I just can't sit back and let 13 people decide the college football playoff and not know what the criteria is, not know who's saying what. I mean, who the heck decides that the Oklahoma and Ohio State AD are on there and not the Georgia or the Tennessee or the UCLA AD? You see what I'm saying here?
Has Bill Hancock commented on this?
Yeah, I talked to Bill about it in California, and I talked to Greg Sankey about it. And look, this is the policy, and this is the way it is right now. And frankly, Bill, I think that's because this is the way the TV money wants it. All right? If you're asking why it's this vague, why is it this vague? You might say, there's a lot of smart people involved here, people a lot smarter than me. If they really wanted to drill down and come down with a precise, exact science where everybody knew the rules up front and we could lock in the four teams based strictly on the results in a formula, they can do that. We did it with the BCS. But you know what they lose if they do that? They lose the ability to manipulate and present the TV ratings that are going to give them the best, the matchups that are going to give them the best TV ratings. I contend that this system is intentionally vague so it can be manipulated for matchups and TV ratings.
What'd you take out of Kirby Smart's appearance yesterday?
He's confident. You know, I really liked what Kirby had to say. Listen, I said to you today, hey, I got to get there in time for Saban. It's not because I'm an Alabama fan. It's because this guy's a tremendous philosopher, a college football philosopher. I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to hear what Nick Saban has to say about the game of college football. I want to hear what Nick Saban has to say about the transfer portal. I want to hear what Nick Saban has to say about all the new quarterbacks in the SEC, right? Because he's a newsmaker, because what he says matters. Kirby Smart is becoming that guy. Kirby Smart said some fascinating things yesterday. You know, Georgia, it's not broke, okay? You don't lead Alabama 200, lead or be tied with Alabama 281 out of 290 plays or 118 minutes and 56 seconds out of 120 minutes in the last two games, right? Georgia is on the level with Alabama. They haven't finished it. They haven't won. But talent-wise and football-wise, anybody that watched those games knows Georgia could have easily won those games, right? But here's the thing. Kirby says even though he likes what he's doing and he wants that consistency, he recognizes the need to change. No complacency. He said, you know what, 10 years from now, I still need to be changing. And where do we suppose that he got that from as we look to Nick Saban and his evolving offense? So some fascinating characters. There's a reason these guys make a lot of money and they're on top of the game. That's why it's laughable when fans and, yes, even sports writers second-guess them sometimes.
We were talking earlier, and hopefully I'm not making more out of a podium appearance than it needs to be because that's not where the football's won and lost. But I was very impressed with Jeremy Pruitt yesterday.
Well, in the sense that he was able to filibuster for 22 minutes so he didn't have to answer questions?
Correct. They get 30 minutes. He talked for – Dari Noka said it was 21 minutes and something seconds. I don't remember. So almost 22, as you mentioned. But I thought it was pretty thorough.
Listen, Jeremy is not a stupid guy, okay? Don't be fooled by the IH and the country accent and all that other stuff. I covered the Alabama team that Jeremy played for. And I still talk to coaches that were on that team. And there's a reason that Jeremy was the captain of the scout team. Okay, number one, 90% of the other schools in the country he would have been starting as a safety. But Alabama had the best secondary in the country under Gene Stallings. And so he was a third string. But he was the captain of the scout team because every week Jeremy Pruitt could go in there and learn the opponent's defense in one day and call it live on the field against the first team offense and give that Alabama offense and Freddie Kitchens, his old roommate, good look, okay? Jeremy Pruitt is a very intelligent guy. So don't be fooled by the aw shucks and the all rights. I mean, Gene Stallings pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, too, and he was the smartest guy in the room. I'm not ready to say Jeremy's the smartest guy in the room, but he's one of them. And he went in there yesterday knowing there's no answers that anybody wants to hear. Nobody wants to hear why they lost to Vanderbilt or Missouri. Nobody wants to. He can't explain how you beat Auburn and Kentucky and then lose to Vandy in Missouri and your players quit. Now, I did see him take accountability for that and say, you know what, that's on me. Those guys, you know, that's on me as a head coach. But he doesn't want to spend 30 minutes doing that, Bill. So he gave you a rundown on his team. Here's the thing, okay? Tennessee, a 7-9 win team this year. They're not where anybody wants them to be. I'm not saying don't get excited about it because it's a process. I've watched teams I've covered go through this. They get better. I mean, heck, Kirby Smart was 8-4 his first year. I didn't even know if it was a good hire at the time, right? But this is going to take time for Tennessee. They got to get some talent in there. I'm not convinced that Garantano, is championship caliber quarterback. I think he's a decent quarterback, but where would I rank him in the SEC? Probably somewhere in the middle. Hadn't proven to be a winner to me yet. Now, that may change this year when he has a little bit more line protection, but he's got great wide receivers. And now he's got, I think, one of the better offensive coordinators in the country. So, to me, Tennessee is 7-9 win team, but that's not where Jeremy wants it. It's not where Fulmer wants it. It's not where the Vols fans want it. They're still a year or two away from contending for a championship.
Griff, I know it's a zoo down there. Before I let you go, rank this year just chaos-wise compared to other years in Hoover.
Not as bad, but I'll tell you what happened last night. They had this College Football 150 show, and also at the end of yesterday, they brought in Herschel Walker, Steve Spurrier, and Archie Manning, and they took the stage. And let me tell you, this was long overdue. I don't know who finally thought of it, but it was brilliant. The most entertaining segment of SEC Media Days, probably since Jackie Sherrill showed up wearing sunglasses in 94, was yesterday. Listening to Herschel Walker and Archie Manning and Steve Spurrier talk about the game's current issues, about the transfer portal, about their thoughts on these current college coaches and where the game's at. Because you know what? These legends, these guys, they don't hold back, Bill. They don't give a damn. You know what? Herschel Walker even said, look, you guys aren't going to like what I got to say, but I think you should stay to your world at word, and I don't think you should transfer. You know, I mean, and he prefaces it with that. And, and Archie Manning was just some great stories, and I just thought, my gosh, why haven't we been doing this for years? These are the forefathers of college football in the SEC. These are the guys. These guys know. Steve Spurrier, Archie Manning, Herschel Walker, they've lived it. They've lived what everybody else in this room, coaches and players, are trying to be.
They're the pinnacle. Why aren't they on the College Football Playoff Committee? Archie actually was. Spurrier, when I met with him in Destin, Reynolds Lake, Georgia, at a golf tournament, Spurrier doesn't like this committee. He thinks it's crazy. Well, why got some committee deciding this? Is there any other sport to put some committee together? No, the Olympic swimmers, they go swim. They see who the fastest is. Track's the same way. They have tournaments. College football, no. We got a committee telling us what to do. So, yeah, I went off on Feinbaum yesterday. And Steve Spurrier is in agreement. And I think a lot of other people are, too, the more they think about it, Bill.
Griff, we'll see you next week, bud.
Appreciate it.
There he is. Griff all hyped up down in Hoover, man. Griff showing the energy. Wow. Oh, man. All right. Let me tell you about Southeastern Termite and Pest. 615-293-0722. Any need you have when it comes to pest control, that is your number. 615-293-0722. Quarterly sprays. Maybe it's an issue with termites. Perhaps a yard application. Might be fungus on the wood up under your house. Could be water. So you need some poly up under the house. Whatever it might be. 615-293-0722. Southeastern Termite and Pest. You're going to love the pricing and the customer relations. One more break here. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. A crash with injuries tying up traffic there at West End at Bowling Avenue. Avoid that area there, West End, because fire EMS on the scene. Hampton at Hillsborough Pike. That wreck should be out there in a few minutes, along with that one at Murfreesboro Pike and Hobson Pike. Still quite a bit of traffic. 65 making its way down from the north. Still sluggish out here on 24, especially westbound here up by Spence Lane. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken. Check it out. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
This is the sound of the DQ Cheeseburger Lovers deal being calculated by a cheeseburger lover.
Two DQ cheeseburgers. Just $4. Two DQ doubles with cheese, only $5?
And this is the sound of that cheeseburger lover checking that math.
Wait. Two DQ cheeseburgers, $4, and two DQ doubles with cheese, $5. I'm burger rich.
The DQ Cheeseburger Lovers deal. DQ. Happy, tastes good. Price and participation may vary.
Napa know-how.
This month at Napa, when you buy a 5-quart jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $24.99, we're making a donation to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund, which means your purchase makes a difference. So do some good and get a 5-quart jug of Valvoline Full Synthetic for just $24.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 7/31/19.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution, our thoughts and prayers are with you as you defend our freedom. This message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential and commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, thanking all the men and women of the military for their service and wishing everyone a happy summer season.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
Arsenio Hall with us.
Man, if you ain't seen me live, you ain't seen me, dog. I love the moment. I get down there, I read the paper when I first arrive in Music City, and I just go with it. I never do the same show twice, so it's always a lot of fun.
You are a legend.
God bless you. If loving Greg and Joe is wrong, I don't want to be right.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Tri-State Forecast.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Showers and thunderstorms for this morning. A high of 87. Showers overnight. Cloudy with your low at 75. Scattered showers on Thursday. Partly sunny with your high at 91. Utilizing the resources of the Weather Bug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The old B
WBCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Omni Nashville Hotel. 615-844-5600. That is the number you need to use for now. 615-844-5600. Perry Mason said, hey, Bill, did you see Spurrier and Herschel and Archie? I missed that. Well, let me back up a little bit. I had it on, but I was busy, so I didn't get to hear it. I saw it, but I didn't get to absorb it. I'm a big fan of that whole group. Literally. Spurrier, Archie, Herschel. I love that entire grouping. It's out there. I'll pull up the audio clip, but I did not get to see the piece you're talking about. Perry goes on to say, Bill, Griff finally has some reality when it comes to Tennessee. I thought Jeremy Pruitt was good. I'm not trying to make a podium a football game. It's not. What you say at the podium is not going to win a ball game or lose a ball game. It's just talk at a podium. Saying that, I was impressed. This guy comes off as somebody who totally controls and understands what's going on and knows where they need to be. Couple times, I thought it was smart. He threw out position-wise, hey, if you're a recruit, we're thin here. He's allowed to say that. That's not against any kind of rule. Do it out there. They're probably a 7-5 type team. We'll see. A lot of 50-50 games in there. A lot of games they're not winning that they need to start winning, like Vanderbilt, like Missouri. And that probably won't be easy. They're not winning that game right now. Got to flip that. Got to change that if you're Jeremy Pruitt. And they're thin in some areas. They are thin on the D-line. That's why they've got to get Aubrey Solomon cleared. That hadn't happened yet, right? I think the feeling is they will get him cleared, but I don't know that that's happened. Somebody bead count me if I'm wrong there, if I don't have that updated. I don't think that news is out on Aubrey Solomon. They've not been very good on the offensive line for many years, actually. Got to get better there. Probably going to be starting some true freshmen up there, which is, that's a tough place to do it. But when you have talent, you got to play them. There was news. Jeremy Pruitt talked about Trey Smith. Here's what I took out of that. They're trying to work it out. The doctors are trying to figure out how to get him on the field, what to do, how to go about this. He wants to play. Now, again, I don't have the medical information. I can't sit here and give you the medical ins and outs on it at all. I couldn't help you there. But that was the word yesterday from the coach, Jeremy Pruitt, on that situation. News about officiating we've touched on from Tuesday. Horns down will be a penalty. If you're playing Texas and you do the horns down and you're facing a player, it's directed at a player or the sideline, that is considered very hurtful. Somebody's feelings could get bruised, and we got to throw the little hanky. The little snowflake. Make sure the hanky has snowflakes all over it so we'll know for sure. Have one specific just for that call. Don't be disrespectful and do the horns down thing. Somebody might cry. But if, let's say, you're playing Texas and you want to do the horns down, but you're, for example, you're on your own sideline and you're not facing Texas, you're just doing it randomly towards maybe somebody in the stands, That's not getting called. So they're not worried about that part of it. That's innocent. There's nothing. That's not hurtful. Aim it at a player. That's really hurtful. Oh, my God. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Overtime in the SEC. Fifth overtime. If you get that far in, you just start running two-point conversions. No driving the ball from the 25. You literally just go back and forth, two-point conversion, two-point conversion, until the score is settled. That cuts down on the number of snaps. That's gimmicky, but I'm not going to be bashing that. I've got bigger things to bash. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I got lots of things to bash. I'm not bashing that. I'll get over it. And it does cut down on snaps. I think that's a good idea. The thing about the long overtimes is just number of snaps you take. It starts getting dangerous. It's already a dangerous sport. But you start getting into seven overtimes, LSU and A&M, you've got nothing in the tank then. And it's a huge advantage for the offenses. Defenses are dead at that point. Think about Alabama in 2016, that incredible defense towards the latter portion of the Clemson game. They couldn't breathe. That was a hellacious group. Couldn't breathe. Clemson was killing them. Now take it to where you're playing seven overtimes. A&M and LSU. Wow. So I think that's a good move. I don't care if it's gimmicky or not. I do not want the sport to look like the NFL and do the NFL's way of overtime. It's fine for them. I'm not against their way for them. I'm against it for college. I don't like anything about the college game trending towards the NFL game. I resent that. That's like, I tell you what, trending the college game in the direction of the NFL would be like me being a Texas Longhorn player and you doing horns down to me. It's hurtful. It makes me sad. Makes me weep when people aren't looking. What do we have tomorrow? What's going on? Oh, Landry. Chris Landry. LandryFootball.com. Chris Landry. Looking forward to that. The wisdom of Chris Landry. Somebody remind me. Kevin from Boston. Think about this. How many college football fans you think are in Boston? Boston's a great city. I'm not knocking it, but college football fans. Two? Kevin and maybe one other person. Maybe one other person. Kevin and that's it. Kevin from Boston up there. Somebody remind me tomorrow when we get Landry on to ask him about Colorado, what he sees in the future. Also Brad, because Brad will have a unique angle on it too on Friday. So somebody please ask me. Say, Bill, little note here. Remember, touch on Colorado, Mel Tucker's team, Kevin's team. We've got other Colorado listeners in the audience too. Who's the Colorado listener that lives over in South Carolina? He actually came down to Atlanta. He was in Atlanta for business when we were doing the show there, and he came by. Nice gentleman. He's a big Colorado guy as well. Big Buffalo fan. Chris Landry tomorrow. Who else? Is there anybody else? Got to remember now, I don't think, when it comes to the show, I don't think about a bunch of guests. I never do. If you have an idea on somebody you'd like me to get on, you can throw it my way. I'm not saying I'll do it necessarily, but throw it my way. And we'll take it under advisement. We'll study it up a little bit. I thought Griff was pretty good today. I know a lot of you are bashing. You guys bash Griff just because it's sporty. It's a sport to you. Griff could have the best interview ever, and half of you would bash him just because it's become part of your fabric. You bash Griff just because I like to bash Griff. I'm not sure I'm even understanding the substance here. I'm just going to bash him. That's become a thing. That has. It's become a big thing. At CrazyCharlie615. That's the way you follow him on Twitter. At CrazyCharlie615. At BillIsKing. I think I'm going to miss Nick this morning. Boy, somebody tape that for me and send it to me. Lashpaw.